Hello, everyone. We've got a very tight schedule today, 40 minutes, so we're going to crack on and start with a few introductions so you know who you're speaking to. My name's Milan Thacker. I'm going to be moderating the panel today. I'm a corporate M&A and private equity lawyer out of London for the international law firm Reed Smith. Very pleased to be invited to this event today. Greece is a huge market for us. So, without further ado, why don't we start with you, Alex? Why don't you introduce yourself to the...
Sure. First of all, thank you to Capital Link for the very kind invitation. It's been a staple in our schedules every year. I'm Alex Argyros. I head up the investment banking practice for Axia, based out of Greece, and most of our activities out of Greece, not exclusively there. But very happy to be here and talk about investing in Greece with the distinguished gentleman to my left.
And James?
Kalispera. Good evening, everyone. Great to be back. James Christopoulos. I work at CVC, which is a global private equity firm with 30 offices around the world, including an office in Athens, Greece. I was born and raised in sunny Athens, Greece, but moved here a while ago, which is why I picked up the accent. And I'm based here in New York and work on investments in Greece and the U.S.
Sami?
Kalispera. I'm Sami David. I've been working from Athens as the local partner for Fortress since 2012. We've been very active in all kinds of investments, including non-performing loans, real estate, energy, shipping, whatever is available and interesting in Greece.
Hi, my name is Spiros Spiropoulos. I've been with Oaktree since 2012, covering Greece and investment there.
All right. Alex, why don't you kick things off and maybe give us a view of your perspective of the market in Greece across 2024 and maybe an outlook on what you think 2025 is going to look like.
Sure. First of all, I think we spent the better part of the day hearing about Greece and what has happened and what's at store. So I'll try not to be repetitive to the extent possible, though I think most angles have been covered already. But from a transactional perspective, I would say that 2024 was a particularly active year in the Greek market, and it was active across the board. So it wasn't that we had a lot of capital markets activity or just a lot of M&A activity. We had a little bit of everything, quite frankly, which is very encouraging in terms of what lies ahead as well. And again, when we talk about, you know, be it capital markets, we had, you know, obviously the banks, the government disengaging from the banks from an ownership perspective. For the most part, we had a lot of private equity activity, both in terms of new investments and exits. We had also a lot of strategics that started looking at Greece and deploying capital in Greece. So all that's to say that, the Greek economy from an investing perspective is firing on all cylinders. And at large, that is, a function of the stability that we have in Greece, the growth that we have in Greece. And despite the overall geopolitical and economical backdrop in our broader neighborhood, Greece has managed to make the headlines once again, but this time for all the right reasons and not as sort of the black sheep of Europe, which we had become quite accustomed to. In terms of what lies ahead, hopefully a lot more of the same, a lot more, opening up of the economy and internationalizing it a lot more, both with inbound investments, but also a lot of Greek corporates looking outbound. That obviously has to be fueled with a lot of solid financing and assistance from the banks, which, as we've heard on a number of panels and occasions, they're also trying to extend the suite of products and the type of advances that they give. And it's no longer just, a monolithic giving traditional old-school loans or dealing with NPLs. They've moved on to be more, quote-unquote, adventurous and supporting the economy. We hope to see a lot more strategics investing to Greece. There is a first wave that has started, but I think we need to all kind of put a lot of effort to make sure that that wave multiplies and gains a lot more momentum. So from my perspective, not to bore you with too many details, I think that, we tend to think of years as discrete periods. I think 2025 can be a continuation and acceleration of what has already started, and it's a matter of maintaining that momentum in order to attract a lot more investments into Greece than we have in the past.
And you touched a little bit upon the role banks have been playing in that development. We've kind of noticed the Greek banks and the financial institutions act a bit more extra with a bit more extrovert interest of late, rather than being the traditionally P pure domestic players they have, you know, historically. How do you see financial services growing in the coming years?
Look, that's definitely the case, and I think it's driven both by need and desire of the banks. Need because they need to replenish their books, they need to create new business, and diversifying their offering outside of the pure traditional, Greek loans that they used to underwrite is something that helps them achieve those targets. But it's also a matter of desire. They see attractive opportunities, they see interesting underwriting opportunities outside of Greece, and they've become a lot more receptive to becoming more creative or more extrovert. A few years ago, there was only a select few situations where they would even finance sponsors. I think that has changed quite a bit, and the type of financings they're willing to provide has changed quite a bit as well. So we heard in a panel before us with the four banks, they're opening up rep offices in the Middle East and in India and all over the world. So definitely the DNA of the banks has evolved as well, alongside the Greek economy, and they're looking for different avenues of new business. And that comes in the form of M&A for themselves as well. Some banks have acquired or are talking about expanding their operations outside of Greece, but they're also, being a lot more transactional when it comes to fee business and acquiring fee businesses. So we see a trend in and of itself there, which is going to kind of multiply their ability to do different things and expand their offerings.
Well, as you talk about banks and acquisition finance, and kind of brings us neatly onto the private equity guys we've got on the panel here. Investments rely on leverage to a large extent. The Greek market does seem kind of different to international markets in the sense that the financing is kind of still dominated by the financial institutions, and we see private credit less of a feature in the Greek market, certainly vis-a-vis the international markets. Do you think that trend is going to continue, or do you see there as an opportunity for private credit going forward? And I'll start with you, Spiros. Yeah.
Okay. First of all, we should say that the Greek financial sector is absolutely strong. The Greek banks have got an investment grade rating. They've improved their balance sheet, and they're very much focused and have achieved in the ability to finance large scale investments. It is true that the private credit market is not as developed in Greece as it is internationally, but in my opinion, the Greek banks are increasingly competitive, and they have the ability to provide structured financing solutions. And in that sense, with the health and the appetite that the Greek banks have, I think it's a relative competitive advantage rather than a disadvantage to have a very strong banking sector that could also collaborate with international capital and in a way provide solutions where you can have more credit in a particular transaction, whether it is an acquisition or whether it is CapEx or growth financing. And we've seen that collaboration already take place in Greece. We've seen Greek banks collaborate with international development banks. They've been able to finance very large strategic projects in energy. And in a way, they've been able to blend local know-how together with global funding in a way that enhances the funding options that you have.
And Alex, what's your take?
I couldn't agree more with Spiros. As I mentioned before, the banks are looking for ways to service this part of the industry as well. I think the private credit is coming as well. We've seen it in some recent examples where private credit in the more kind of Anglo-Saxon traditional sense of the word has participated in transactions. I do expect that to accelerate a lot, but I think it's a symbiotic relationship with the banks. It's not either one or the other. Especially in the more complex, larger transactions, you probably need both because they serve different purposes. And we are seeing that pick up.
Okay. James, CVC have been active across a number of sectors in Greece of late. What have you guys found has been working? What needs to change? Kind of what's your and your team's perspective on the market?
Well, overall, we continue to be bullish. Overall, things are working, which is probably why I'm here. So I'm thankful and grateful for that. But first, just by way of background, so yes, we've been fortunate to have been active in Greece now on the last 7 or 8 years, really across many sectors, and that includes healthcare, where we've invested in HHG and on the hospital side, e-commerce with Scrooge, insurance with Ethan McGee. So we've invested across many different sectors, and overall, our experience has been very positive. Some of that, certainly with the benefit of hindsight, I think we were maybe a little lucky with the cycle. And as Alexander said, almost despite a global pandemic, despite all the geopolitical noise, shall we say, Greece has continued to outperform both on a relative and an absolute basis, which is obviously great. So we've benefited from that, and that obviously the tide is rising to a certain degree. More importantly, and each story is a little bit different, so I'll keep it a little bit high level, but if I had to say the few things that have worked well, one of the first things that comes to mind are the people. I think we've had some great partners in Greece. The management teams have been great. And interestingly, in a lot of the businesses we've invested in, it's the same people who were there before that we just brought maybe a slightly different mindset of growth, gave some incentives. And right. So it's great to see how that changes things in terms of being more ambitious, being trying things differently. So that's certainly been a great experience for us. I also think internationalization, I know that's been a topic throughout the day today, but for a lot of our investment theses, we were relying on the ability to grow internationally. Greece is not the largest market, but so, for example, with HHG, we were able to expand into Cyprus, which was great. With Vivardi on the food side, we've really ramped up exports to many markets, including North America. And so some of that has been good. There's definitely a lot more to do on that front. So when you think about, I know you asked about change too. Certainly, I think we need to get to the point where Greece has more internationally oriented businesses of scale that can participate more in the global or regional economy. So that's one thing I'm sure everyone here would love to see more of. And then, you know, I think for all the growth, there's clearly some more changes that can happen, whether it's the judiciary, some other slow evolution that I think will continue to support the Greek economic growth over time. But overall, you know, knock on wood, as they say, it's been a good experience so far.
Okay. Well, as a healthcare kind of focused practice myself, my ears pricked up when you mentioned your healthcare investment. So what sectors, you know, are you and Spiros feeling most bullish about in the Greek market? And are there any focus areas for you? Spiros, why don't you go first?
Sure. Taking a step back, I think Greece today is a fast-growing European economy. It has accelerating foreign direct investment, decelerating unemployment, steady GDP growth. So this has opened up the potential sectors that are attractive for investment. I think for me, looking ahead, what could be interesting is tourism and hospitality, and maybe that's you know, something that we've done in the past, so that could be around too. Greece is obviously a global premier destination. It has an increasing share of large-scale investments, and I think investors today, they are focusing on upgrading infrastructure, on developing high-end resorts, and creating experiential differentiated type of products. And I think I can think of several examples of existing assets that exist today, but also ongoing projects that are ripe for development and could become the successful tourism ventures of the future. So I think that's one sector. I think healthcare, like you mentioned, as a continued opportunity there. We have aging demographics, which is unfortunate, but it's a reality. We have rising income levels with all that has taken place over the last few years. And we have a constant demand that we see for modern facilities and specialized care. And that creates opportunities in the sector for investment. And I think also, thinking for the many years ahead, I'd like to think of medical tourism. It's still in its infancy today, but looking ahead, we can almost sense that it is starting. So it could be, you know, it could expand the potential of the sector overall. Third, and everybody has spoken about this today already, I see renewables as potentially interesting. Obviously, Greece is advancing in solar and wind. We're actually leading a number of European countries. The mix, the share of renewables in the energy mix is very impressive. The government is committed to decarbonizing. I read somewhere that we had the steepest decline from lignite than any of our OECD peers. That is also coming with an upgrading of the infrastructure, and there's a lot that will take place in the battery space. So that creates opportunity. And I think we've seen opportunity for investment, and we've seen the recent transaction on this that closed from Masdar, but also in niche sectors. I think, for example, Astypalia, which is a little-known small island in Greece, I think is becoming a European model for e-mobility and green energy in collaboration, you know, public to with private sector. And, of course, technology, which is a big bet, I think, for Greece, but there's a growing startup ecosystem. There's a lot of government incentives that are taking place. I think some were announced very, very recently, maybe as early as yesterday. And that is driving capital to come to the sector. And this is driving hubs, innovation hubs, to create themselves. And we've had, of course, recent investments by giants like Microsoft, Amazon, and many others who are creating such tech hubs in Greece, and that's great news, and are critically investing in cloud infrastructure in Greece and data centers. And then within technology, I think there's also interesting space of IT services, and there is growth there that is taking place as a result of the country digitalizing with all the efforts that the government is doing, but also the private sector as well. And I think, you know, that is attracting capital as well. And this is just a snapshot of ideas that I have. Like in the past, Greece has surprised us with the breadth of opportunities that come.
Okay. The PE industry have had some kind of very successful exits over the last few years. I'm showing my healthcare bias. I might mention Pharmacon and Pharmar earlier this year to Mid Europa and Pharmathon to Partners Group. But there have been many more beyond that. How do those act in terms of precedence for your view of the market in Greece? And sure, how do you factor exit opportunities into your analysis?
Sure. First of all, I should say that the investment environment in Greece has improved steadily over the past few years. The liquidity conditions today, I think, are the best that we have seen in the 12 plus years that we've been investing in the country. The market has developed, has matured, has more depth and breadth than in the past, and it attracts a diverse pool of investors. I think now we see, like Alex mentioned before, foreign strategic buyers investing in energy and infrastructure. We have sovereign wealth funds. We exited in tourism and energy. You have infrastructure players investing and looking to invest in core and core plus assets. You have private equity funds like ourselves looking to invest in a number of corporate sectors. And I think importantly, you also have the emergence, and that was not there many years ago, but you have the emergence of the local investors, the local buyers, whether they are strategic or financial. And they have actually dominated a number of transactions in the recent past, in a number of sectors, like banking, with all that has happened in Attica, in IT, in real estate, and energy, of course. So you have local and foreign investors. You have financial and strategic investors across a number of sectors. So you have a very diverse pool of potential buyers. And I think this diversity, and coming to someone like us, allows institutional capital to underwrite investments in Greece with good exit prospects, which is very important, because you can look at a number of corporate sectors and can anticipate that there could be different types of potential investors that could come and enable a transaction. So I think I'm optimistic and constructive on that point.
James, what's the CVC take on that?
I think it's a great question, because in the end of the day, I think I certainly agree with what Spiros said. We've seen that very market improvement the last couple of years in terms of the depth of the capital markets, including, you know, the stock market, which, you know, is another pool of capital, which is still maybe in the earlier days of its hopefully its growth. But at the same time, I also think it's fair to say the sample set is still relatively limited. So we don't have as many proof points at scale. I think there's also some nuances based on which segment of the market we're talking about. I think, as Spiros mentioned, infrastructure, there's more data points, real estate / hospitality, more data points, technology to a certain extent, again, because it's a little bit more externally focused. There's a lot more VC money from other geographies. finding opportunities in Greece. I think in other markets, it's probably a little bit more limited still, in fairness. And the question is also one of scale. And so I think what we're all, everyone in this room, probably hoping for is that we get to the flywheel where there are some more exits, some more liquidity events, more institutions feel comfortable doing their first investment. And I know just from our own dialogue with parties, a lot of people find Greece very attractive, but this question of exit is still a question for several folks. So I think we still need to have some more, wins on the table before it becomes even more comfortable for more investors. But certainly the progress of the last 5 years has been great.
Well, a lot of the exits we've been talking about recently over the last few years have been M&A. Let's look a little bit about, I'd like to talk a little bit about capital markets as an exit opportunity. Now, the Athens Stock Exchange in particular hasn't traditionally been viewed, even by Greek companies, by investors and by Greek companies, as a kind of a popular exit route. We look at Metal and Energy this year. In London, we've noticed they're looking towards London for their IPO. What is it, and I'll direct this to you, Alex, what is it you think Athens, the Athens Stock Exchange, could maybe learn from other markets around the world? So in the next 5-10 years, some of the Greek success stories of the future start considering them as a viable option, as opposed to the London Stock Exchange or NYSE?
Look, there's a lot of ways to think about it, but at the end of the day, it's not just about what the Athens Stock Exchange or any single peripheral stock exchange can do. It's about the way the tide is going, to paraphrase what James was saying before. And at the end of the day, for scalable investments to realize an exit to the stock market, they need very deep liquidity and a very deep investor pool. Because it's not only a one-off transaction and you've exited. In most of these scalable situations, especially private equity backed, you are going to need a series of transactions to be able to talk about an exit. So you do need the liquidity, both for the initial step, the IPO of a company, but also down the line, so that you can support valuations and support further exits and sell downs from the sponsors. In order for that to materialize, obviously you need to kind of swim upstream and fight the current trend of concentrating things in fewer, bigger exchanges. We do need more reforms to enable more local funds, equity funds, to be available for the stock market. Most of the local capital is directed towards credit and fixed income rather than the equity capital markets. But besides that, I think it's just a matter of making it seamless and easy for the global pools of capital, because no matter what Greece does, the global pools of capital are going to be much, much larger than what's ever going to be available domestically in Greece. You just need to make it seamless and easy for those people and those fund managers to be present and active in the Athens Stock Exchange. And that's the only way you can get to liquidity levels that can support the billion euro transactions or the multi-billion dollar euro transactions. Today, we're just not there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on, Sammy, to you and some of the activity with Fortress in the market. You guys have been one of the biggest NPL investors in the market of late. What's your perspective going forward? Do you think all the primary sales from the financial institutions are complete, or do you think there's further to go?
So now we're going a little bit darker because we're talking about not nice things like investments, but non-performing loans and the dark side. Yes, the primary sales have actually finished. All the major sales from the four systemic banks and the fifth pillar are going to be finalized now. We have the HAPS. So all in all, we had 120 billion of non-performing loans in the system and something like 60 billion of HAPS have been sold, securitized, and around 35 billion of direct sales have been performed in the past years. So right now, these loans have moved from the banks to non-banks, private equity firms, and securitization vehicles. And right now, for me, the biggest discussion we should be having in Greece is how this huge stock of NPLs is going to be resolved, because they have not been resolved. They have just moved from the banks out into different pools, and the banks are extremely healthy right now. They have very low NPL ratios, lower than Europe. But we all need to realize that, you know, before the crisis, the balance sheet, the loans held by banks in Greece were around 240 billion. And right now they are around 140 billion. And the remaining 100 billion are non-performing loans. So for us, the biggest worry, but also the biggest opportunity, is to be able to resolve that. This resolution could actually lead to very interesting investments, and it could put the Greek economy into overdrive if it's actually done correctly, because the investments that my fellow speakers have been talking about are investments in a society, and half of the Greek society is still in an NPL portfolio. So if we manage to release this the society from this burden, this is going to be extremely good news for Greece.
Okay, so we've still got a bit of a path forward to resolve the issue. It's not done yet.
We have a lot of path forward, and we need to figure out the way that this is going to happen. It can either happen through refinancing these huge stocks of NPLs or through the real estate that is going to be produced from the collaterals that are going to be sold or surrendered or given out. So real estate is definitely going to be a play for the coming years, and refinancing either through alternative financing vehicles with banks, because banks will need to play a role here, is also going to be a very interesting space.
Okay. So let's take your NPL investments to one side for now and talk a bit more about your direct investments. Where do you see the opportunities in 2025 for that in the market?
Fortas has been quite active in trying to identify good companies with bad capital structures inside the market. I see back there Mr. Magiras, who was the transaction we first did, where we restructured Attica Blue Star Ferries, and that was exactly the way that large companies need to be restructured forward. We've been active in doing this over the last 10 years. Lately, we've been looking into the car business, trying to restructure one major player in the Greek market, which is retail, wholesale, and leasing of vehicles. And just to give you an idea, in Greece, we used to have 300,000 of new car sales, and this went down to 70,000. So it was an absolute collapse. And most of the Greek companies that were into the car business became non-performing loans from banks. This is going to eventually change, and this, for us, is an opportunity to invest directly in these companies.
Okay. Thank you. As you intimated at the start, your topic started out on a bit more of a negative spin, so maybe I'll turn to the others on the panel. What do you guys feel are the largest challenges for Greece going forward? We've heard a bit from Sammy about that. Start with you, Alex.
Look, I mean, there's no shortage of challenges, and I don't think there ever will be, if we're being honest with ourselves. As the opportunity evolves, so do the challenges. Look, at the end of the day, Greece is a relatively small economy, a relatively small market. If we're talking about private equity and new capital being deployed into Greece, be it from financial sponsors or from strategics, there comes a time where scarcity of opportunities starts to play a role in that. The liquidity in the market, no matter which angle you touch it from, can be an issue. And at the end of the day, Greece has been extremely successful of being insulated from the overall, you know, both geopolitical, economic, and otherwise backdrop in our broader neighborhood. That could very well change in the future, right? And if you have investors from abroad that are facing their own issues, their attention and their, you know, energy to look at other countries and other jurisdictions may diminish in the future. Now, a lot of these things are things that are outside of our collective control, but I do think it takes a lot to build up the credibility, it takes a lot to build up the momentum. It doesn't take a lot to bring the house down at the end of the day. We saw that in the recent past in Greece. I'm not, you know, trying to be the bearer of bad news, and I don't foresee that happening in the near future. But in terms of, you know, key concerns, that's something we always have to be vigilant about and not to kind of let our guard down, because we know what that can lead to. We've all been through it. And, you know, maybe Sami would have been happier with some more crisis, but I think there's plenty of opportunities as it is. And I think we all prefer to work in more stable environments and find the right opportunities there rather than anything else. So I think that's my take on that.
And James?
Yeah, I guess I would, not at the risk of repeating some of the stuff, we certainly still have to deal with debt, broadly defined, whether it's at the NPL, corporate level, personal level, country level. You know, I think we're obviously in a much better spot, but there are some question marks on the horizon longer out. So there's all those topics that haven't gone away magically. So you don't want to be naive about that. We do have the issues of, we're in an interesting part of the world, to say the least. Thankfully, we're surrounded by water and beautiful water, but it, you know, we don't have too many right adjacent friends to grow economically, et cetera. But again, there that creates opportunities, and I think we touched on before how some more changes need to happen in terms of how we can internationalize a little bit better. But it is a challenge, and it probably will continue to be for at least a period of time where we sit today. Demographically, I know we talked about healthcare. Again, it's not growing. So there's all these, I would say, more structural things. But to echo Alexander's comment, Alex, others, we don't, you know, still, despite all that, there's so much opportunity in the micro and so much that the country is already doing that can still fuel growth. So, yes, it's easy to see some of the lists, but lists of negatives or risk areas. But I think fundamentally those are, frankly, if we were talking about any other country in the world right now, it would have their own list too.
I promise this is my last depressing question. I won't ask anymore. But Spiros, let's get your take on the biggest challenges.
I'll take a couple of challenges. So I think that the first one for me is the demographics. I think Greece is going through a baby bust, like a lot of European countries, and that will affect us in the next few years, and that will in turn affect the potential investments that we can continue to make, and how there will be growth, continued growth. So this is a challenge for me as I think into the future. The second challenge that is not a challenge, but if I were to wish something, is I would wish for more speed, particularly in the judicial system. And I think there are things that are taking place there that will make that happen. So I think that's something that could be improved. And again, speed, coming back to speed, I think also on, again, in bureaucracy, wherever we could not cut layers of bureaucracy, but in a way improve the time to response. And that would be the couple of things that I think I would think of.
Okay. We've got 5 minutes left. So I have a 3-line whip to keep to time. So I'll make this last question quick. Let's end on a bit of crystal ball gazing, looking into the future. So if we were holding this panel in 5 years' time, predict what your review of the prior 5 years would be. So tell us what you think the next 5 years is going to look like. So let's start with you, Sami. Go on.
So you started.
You get the easy one.
I thought I'd give you the opportunity to be a bit more upbeat after depressing everyone at the start.
No, I really think that the opportunity that was there in 2024... now that it's 2029, we managed as a country to actually resolve the huge stock that we had, and the society as a whole managed to produce growth rates that were three times the average of the European Union, because that is the growth rates that we would be looking at, if we will be looking at, if we manage to resolve that problem. So, yeah, for me, that is what I hope is going to happen.
And Spiros?
I hope and expect, because we were in the business of underwriting the future, doing better. So I hope and expect that the 5 years will be better than the previous 5 years, as we have almost seen the 12-plus years that we've been investing in Greece. So I hope this journey will continue.
It's very positive. Brief, but very positive. James?
No, listen, I think, again, there's plenty of challenges, but I think there's some embedded growth in Greece still, whether it's the technology sector that has really, I won't say come out of nowhere, but really if you think about the last decade, it's just been a great growth story for Greece and some great, very promising companies. So continuing to explore and grow that, hopefully we'll look back and see that tourism wasn't a two-year fad, and Greece is still a prime destination that we've built off of, developed a new product and services to reposition, you know, the country, and that creates some sustainable long-term opportunities for the country, and it's not just a nuisance in packed beaches. But so I think there are these embedded growth vectors that hopefully we'll look back on and have staying power and have really bled into the rest of the economy. And in the meantime, we've made progress with on some of those challenges. And last but not least, I know we're running out of time, but hopefully Panathinaikos has like 10 stars on the jersey.
Panathinaikos.
That's for the Greeks in the room. But
as long as you're not facing English teams in the Champions League, that's fine.
To end it on a bit of a lighter note, I hope that this panel looks very different in 5 years' time for two reasons. Number one, it's always good to have new blood and new actors into the market. That will have meant that, you know, the market has developed. And number two, which hopefully all of you will agree with, nobody will be able to hold us to our crystal ball gazing today. So,
amen.
Okay, very good. I think with that, we've got a minute left, but I think we're done.